Okay, so continuing the chapter. Here we go. So they were just, you know, Wood just showed Harry how to play Quidditch. So perhaps it was because he was so busy now, what with Quidditch practice 3 evenings a week on top of all his homework. But Harry could hardly believe it when he realized that he'd already been at Hogwarts 2 months. The castle felt more like home than Privet Drive ever had. His lessons, too, were becoming more and more interesting now that they had mastered the basics. On Halloween morning, they woke to the delicious smell of baking pumpkin wafting through the corridors. Even better, Professor Flitwick announced in Charms that he thought that they were ready to start making objects fly, something they had been dying to try since they'd seen him make Neville's toad zoom around the classroom. Professor Flitwick put the class into pairs to practice. Harry's partner was Seamus Finnegan, which was a relief because Neville had been trying to catch his eye. Ron, however, was to be working with Hermione Granger. It was hard to tell whether Ron or Hermione was angrier about this. She hadn't spoken to either of them since the day Harry's broomstick had arrived.
"Now, don't forget the nice wrist movement we've been practicing," squeaked Professor Flitwick, perched on top of his pile of books as usual. "Swish and flick, remember, swish and flick. And saying the magic words properly is very important. Never forget Wizard Buffario, who said S instead of F, and found himself on the floor with a buffalo on his chest."
It was very difficult. Harry and Seamus swished and flicked, but the feather they were supposed to be sending skyward just lay on the desktop. Seamus got so impatient that he prodded it with his wand and set fire to it. Harry had to put it out with his hat. Ron, at the next table, wasn't having much more luck.
"Wingardium Leviosa," he shouted, waving his long arms like a windmill.
"You're saying it wrong," Harry heard Hermione snap. "It's Wingardium Leviosa. Make the gar nice and long."
"You do it, then, if you're so clever," Ron snarled. Hermione rolled up the sleeves of her gown, flicked her wand, and said,
"Wingardium Leviosa."
Their feather rose off the desk and hovered about 4 feet above their heads.
"Oh, well done," cried Professor Flitwick, clapping. "Everyone see here, Miss Granger's done it."
Ron was in a very bad mood by the end of the class.
"It's no wonder no one can stand her,"
he said to Harry as they pushed their way through the crowded corridor.
"She's a nightmare, honestly."
Someone knocked into Harry as they hurried past him. It was Hermione. Harry caught a glimpse of her face and was startled to see that she was in tears.
"I think she heard you."
"So," said Ron, but he looked a bit uncomfortable. "She must have noticed she'd got no friends." Hermione didn't turn up for the next class and wasn't seen all afternoon. On their way down to the Great Hall for the Halloween feast, Harry and Ron overheard Parvati Patil telling her friend Lavender that Hermione was crying in the girls' bathroom and wanted to be left alone. Ron looked still more awkward at this, but a moment later, they had entered the Great Hall, where the Halloween decorations put Hermione out of their minds. 1,000 live bats fluttered from the walls and ceiling, while 1,000 more swooped over the tables in low black clouds, making the candles and the pumpkins stutter. The feast appeared suddenly on golden plates, as it had in the start-of-term banquet. Harry was just helping himself to a baked potato when Professor Quirrell came sprinting into the hall, his turban askew and terror in his face. Everyone stared as he reached Professor Dumbledore's chair, slumped against the chair, against the table, and gasped,
"Droll! In the dungeons! Thought you ought to know."
And then he sank to the floor in a dead faint. There was an uproar. It took several purple firecrackers exploding from the end of Professor Dumbledore's wand to bring silence.
"Prefects!"
Sorry, I guess that's not his accent, is it? I don't remember. I haven't done Dumbledore in a while. I don't like it. Yeah, sort of.
"Prefects!" he rumbled. "Lead your houses back to the dormitories immediately!"
Well, that changed. That was something else.
Made it Scottish, but yeah.
Shut up. Okay. Percy was in his element.
Follow me, stick together, first years. No need to fear the troll if you'll follow my orders. Stay close behind me now. Make way, first years coming through. Excuse me, I'm a prefect. How could a troll get in? Harry asked as they climbed the stairs. Don't ask me, they're supposed to be really stupid, said Ron. Maybe Peeves let it in for a Halloween joke. They passed different groups of people hurrying in different directions. As they jostled their way through a crowd of confused Hufflepuffs, Harry grabbed Ron's, someone grabbed Ron's arm. I just thought, Hermione. What about her? She doesn't know about the troll. Ron bit his lip. Oh, all right, he snapped, but Percy's better not see us. Ducking down, they joined the Hufflepuffs going the other way, slipped down a deserted side corridor, hurried off towards the girls' bathroom. They had just turned the corner when they heard quick footsteps behind them. Percy, hissed Ron, pulling Harry behind a large stone griffin. Peering around it, however, they saw not Percy, but Snape. He crossed the corridor and disappeared from view. What's he doing? Whispered Harry. Why isn't he down in the dungeons with the rest of the teachers? Search me. Quietly as possible, they crept along the next corridor after Snape's fading footsteps. He's heading for the third floor, said Harry, but Ron held up his hand. Can you smell something? Harry sniffed, and a foul stench reached his nostrils. A mixture of old socks and the kind of public toilet no one seems to clean. Then they heard it, a low grunting, and the shuffling footsteps of gigantic feet. Ron pointed. At the end of a passage to the left, something huge was moving toward them. They shrank into the shadows and watched it emerge into a patch of moonlight. It was a horrible sight. 12 feet tall, its skin was a dull granite gray, its great lumpy body like a boulder, with a small bald head perched on top like a coconut. It had short legs, thick as tree trunks, with flat horned feet. The smell coming from it was incredible. It was holding a large wooden club, which dragged along the floor because its arms were so long. The troll stopped next to a doorway and peered inside. It waggled its long ears, making up its tiny mind, and then slouched slowly into the room. The key's in the lock, Harry muttered. We could lock it in. Good idea, said Ron nervously. They edged towards the open door, mouths dry, praying the troll wasn't about to come out of it. With one great leap, Harry managed to grab the key, slam the door, and lock it. Yes! Flushed with their victory, they started to run back up the passage, but as they reached the corner, they heard something that made their hearts stop. A high, petrified scream, and it was coming from the chamber they just changed up. Oh no, said Ron, pale as the bloody baron. It's the girls' bathroom, Harry gasped. Hermione, they said together. It was the last thing they wanted to do, but what choice did they have? Wheeling around, they sprinted back toward the door and turned the key, fumbling in their panic. Harry pulled the door open and they ran inside. Hermione was shrinking against the wall opposite, looking as if she was about to faint. The troll was advancing on her, knocking off the sinks as it went. Confuse it, Harry said desperately to Ron, and seizing a tap, he threw it as hard as he could against the wall. The troll stopped a few feet from Hermione. It lumbered along, blinking stupidly to see what had made the noise. Its mean little eyes saw Harry. It hesitated, then made for him instead, lifting its club as it went. Oi, Peabrain, yelled Ron from the other side of the chamber, and he threw a metal pipe at it. The troll didn't even seem to notice the pipe hitting its shoulder, but it heard the yell and paused again, turning its ugly snout towards Ron instead, giving Harry time to run around it. Come on, run, run! Harry yelled at Hermione, trying to pull her towards the door, but she couldn't move. She was still flat against the wall, her mouth open with terror. The shouting and echoes seemed to be driving the troll berserk. It roared again and started toward Ron, who was nearest and had no way to escape. Harry then did something that was both very brave and very stupid. He took a great running jump and managed to fasten his arms around the troll's neck from behind. The troll couldn't feel Harry hanging there, but even a troll will notice if you stick a long bit of wood up its nose. Harry's wand had still been in his hand when he jumped. It had gone straight up one of the troll's nostrils. Howling with pain, the troll twisted and flailed his club with Harry clinging on for dear life.
Any second the troll was going to rip him off or catch him a terrible blow with a club. Hermione had sunk to the floor in fright. Ron pulled out his own wand, not knowing what he was going to do with it, heard himself cry the first spell that came into his head. Wingardium Leviosa! The club flew suddenly out of the troll's hand, rose higher and higher up into the air, turned slowly over, and dropped with a sickening crack onto the troll's head. It swayed on the spot, and then fell flat on its face, with a thud that made the whole room tremble. Harry got to his feet. He was shaking and out of breath. Ron was standing there with his wand still raised, staring at what he had done. It was Hermione who had spoke first. "Is it dead?" "I don't think so," said Harry. "I think it's just been knocked out." He bent down and pulled his wand out of the troll's nose. It was covered in what looked like lumpy gray glue. "Ugh, troll boogers." He wiped it on the troll's trousers. A sudden slamming and loud footsteps made the three of them look up. They hadn't realized what a racket they'd been making, but of course someone downstairs must have heard the crashes and the troll's roars. A moment later, Professor McGonagall had come bursting to the room, closely followed by Snape, with Quirrell bringing up the rear. Quirrell took one look at the troll, let out a faint whimper, and sat down on the toilet, clutching his heart. Snape bent over the troll. Professor McGonagall was looking at Harry and Ron. Harry had never seen her look so angry. Her lips were white. "What on earth were you thinking of?" said Professor McGonagall, with cold fury in her voice. Harry looked at Ron, who was still standing with his wand in the air. "You're lucky we weren't killed. Why weren't you in your dormitory?" Snape gave Harry a swift, piercing look. Harry looked at the floor. He wished Ron would put his wand down. Then a small voice came out of the shadows. "Please, Professor McGonagall, they were looking for me."
"Miss Granger?"
Hermione had managed to get to her feet at last. "I went looking for the troll because I thought I could deal with it on my own, you know, because I've read all about them." Ron dropped his wand. Hermione Granger telling a downright lie to a teacher? "If they hadn't found me, I'd be dead by now." Harry stuck his wand up its nose, and Ron knocked it out with its own club. They didn't have time to come fetch anyone. It was about to finish me off when they arrived. Harry and Ron tried to look as though the story wasn't new to them. Wait, it actually wasn't new to them. That's exactly what happened. Anyways.
"Well, in that case," said Professor McGonagall, staring at the three of them. "Miss Granger, you foolish girl, how could you think of tackling a mountain troll on your own?"
Hermione hung her head. Harry was speechless. Hermione was the last person to do anything against the rules, and here she was, pretending she had to get them out of trouble. It was as if Snape started handing out sweets. "Miss Granger," said Professor McGonagall, "I'm very disappointed in you. If you're not hurt at all, you better get off to Gryffindor Tower. Students are finishing the feast in their houses." Hermione left. Professor McGonagall turned to Harry and Ron. "Well, I still say you were lucky, but not many first years could have taken on a full-grown mountain troll. Well done. Professor Dumbledore will be informed of this. You may go." They hurried out of the chamber and didn't speak at all until they had climbed up two floors. It was a relief to be away from the smell of the troll, apart from anything else.
"Good of her to get us out of trouble like that," Ron admitted. "Mind you, we did save her."
"She might have not needed saving if we hadn't locked the thing in with her," Harry reminded him. They had reached the portrait of the fat lady. "Pig snapped," they said, and entered. The common room was packed and noisy. Everyone was eating the food that had been sent up. Hermione, however, stood alone by the door, waiting for them. There was a very embarrassed pause. Then, none of them looking at each other, they all said, "Thanks," and hurried off to get plates. But from that moment on, Hermione Granger became their friend. There are some things you can't do, or you can't share, without ending up liking each other, and knocking out a 12-foot mountain troll is one of them. And that's the end of chapter 10.
What's the next chapter titled?
The next chapter is titled Quidditch. I think we have to stop for tonight, but we'll continue very soon.